everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into The Kelly O Show. Today's special guest is Liz Falsigno. I'm so glad I said her name flawlessly, but I've actually been practicing it several times. Liz runs a ridiculously successful blog called The Clean Eating Couple, and she's truly one of my favorite foodie people that I tune into. I've got about five of them. You know, those people that you always go to, and they have great guidance, great cooking tips, great recipes. I've said it a million times, and pretty sure I say it during this interview. Somebody out there listening, this woman needs a cookbook deal. She is amazing. And it's been wonderful too to watch her grow. She was one of our early Fitfluential bloggers back in the day. And she has grown and grown and grown her blog from a side hustle kind of a situation to her full-time job. And we do talk about that just a little. She'll definitely be back on the show to talk about her business specifically, because that's going to be something we talk about, as you know, on The Kelly O Show. But today we're talking more about health and food and meal prep and how to cook and get more creative so that you can enjoy eating healthy, because there's still, believe it or not, so many people out there, I hear it all the time, who think eating healthy is chicken and broccoli. And that's not the case at all. And she makes it, I don't want to say she makes it look easy. She just really makes cooking and baking a lot more accessible. And I know you're going to love the show. Now, this is a two-part episode. So you are tuning into part one. Make sure you, at the end, flip on over and tune into part two. Enjoy this interview with Liz Falsigno. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kelly O Show. Today, I am absolutely thrilled to have, I'm going to say it, Liz Falsigno. Did I say it right, your last name?
Yeah, you got it.
For everybody that's listened to me for a while, they know if there's any last name that's not Smith or, you know, Barney, I really worry that I'm going to blow it. And I told Liz before we started recording, I said, I'm not going to say your last name. She goes, you can do it. And so I wrote it out and I actually said it right. So I'm very, very proud of myself. But Liz Falsigno is the brain behind I probably have top five blogs that I still tune into. I remember back in the day in 2007 when I first started blogging, I had and they used to call it a blog roll back then. And I would, and maybe that was even when Google Reader was still out, and I would read like 30 blogs. And sometimes I remember my husband at the time was like, how long do you spend a day reading blogs? I'm like, come on, it's research. But now there's like five that I go to, and they're all food oriented. And the reason I wanted Liz on the show is the name of her blog, and I'm going to have her describe it a little bit here, is The Clean Eating Couple. And it's one of my favorite blogs. Liz is one of the most creative, but yet down to earth, extremely accessible. I'm going to call you a home chef. You know, you can call yourself whatever you want, but she's the person that I tune into when I want to make something that's going to be healthy. It's not going to take me forever. It's going to be accessible as far as the type of ingredients.
and just plain doable. And every time I watch her on Instagram or I go to her blog, I mean, she put something out. I think Lauren was making your healthy buffalo chicken dip. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, we'll talk about how you come up with these recipes and whatnot, but why don't you tell people that are listening that this might be their first exposure to you? You know, when did you start blogging? Why did you start blogging? And what's the Clean Eating Couple all about?
Yeah, sure. So thank you for the little intro there. So I started the Clean Eating Couple back in 2013. It's like all a big blur as to when I started it, but over 5 years ago. And I really just started it at first as a way to chronicle my own health and wellness journey. I think that's how a lot of blogs started out. Like you were saying, back in the day, people used to be posting every day and, you know, sharing all kinds of stuff. So I started back then, and then I quickly realized that there was kind of a business opportunity with blogging, and we'll get into that later on, I'm sure. But I realized, you know, I really love this and people are making money off their blogs. So maybe if I tried a little bit harder in terms of like writing better and taking better photos and building an audience, this could be something that I could, you know, make a career. Mm-hmm. So I did. And it'll be 2 years in January, I quit my job. I was working in marketing and, you know, pursued this full time. And now my job full time is to create delicious, simple, easy to follow healthy recipes for my site, which is so, so fun. I love it.
Like, you make it sound so simple. You make everything sound and look simple. And that's part of why I always tune into you. And I know, you know, everybody that ever worked for me, they're obsessed with you as well. and I'm just telling you guys, when you go, you'll know what I mean. When, you know, we'll link up to her blog. At the end, she will be one of your favorite people. You'll be stalking her on Instagram. And I love, you give so many tips. You give, and so let me do a little sidebar here. The reason that, one of the reasons that I wanted Liz to be on the show, at the end of the show, we're definitely going to talk a little bit about her experience, you know, being able to leave corporate America and replace that income with her blog. Because as you know, if you've been following me for a while, I am a strong believer that women can do so much more when they're not just trudging through life at a job they hate, you know, being completely stressed out and unfulfilled. And so I love to have women business owners or women entrepreneurs, even if it's a side hustle, sharing like how they decided to go for it. Because the bottom line is work. It's always going to be stressful. It's always going to be work. But if you can make money doing something that you're really passionate about and you love, your health is going to improve. Your fitness results in the gym will improve. And that's why I'm always going to focus on those things on the show. But I also wanted Liz on the show because a lot of you are strictly, you know, you tune in more so on the business side, and a lot of you have a background like me where you've been a workaholic, you're in corporate America, you're working crazy hours, you have a desire to get fit, but the number one thing that people write into me about and write into the Kelly O Show about already and formerly wrote into Fitfluential about is, how do I like find a way to eat so that I'm not bored to tears? I mean, there still is this huge myth out there. Maybe you can touch on it, Liz, because I don't know if you ever started your journey to better health on this road. There's this myth that you have to eat chicken and plain steamed chicken and plain steamed broccoli and oatmeal, like that bro diet, to get fit. That still is out there. And there are so many people who think that that's how you have to eat to get healthy. What do you say to that? Did you ever follow that type of a diet?
You know, I feel like right off the bat, I didn't follow that. But my whole premise of starting my site was that I knew, you know, I grew up in an Italian family. Like, we eat pasta and meatballs every weekend, and there was always going to be foods around that, like, definitely don't fit into that, you know, baked chicken and broccoli mentality. But so I, instead of, you know, restricting myself and saying, oh, I can only eat steamed vegetables and like this, I took, you know, those recipes that have been in my family for years, or things that I loved eating. Like you mentioned earlier, a buffalo chicken dip, who doesn't love that? And I just said, you know what, I'm not going to say that I can't have this. I'm just going to make a better version of it that doesn't leave me feeling like crap, and that is filled with whole, real food ingredients. still tastes great, still satisfies that craving, but just is a little bit better for me.
You make it sound, again, very easy. And I have two questions that come out of that. My first question is it, because I'm somebody, I will say proudly, I'm a great cook, but I'm a great cook when I'm following a recipe. Like, I need to have that baseline. I am not somebody at all, I wish I could, they can just go into the kitchen, look at some ingredients and go, okay, I'm going to do this. And like some of our bloggers, remember we talked about this at the first Now Foods event when I first hung out with you in person, and all the bloggers were talking about like xanthan gum. And I'm like, what is this stuff that you guys are doing? I have no idea. But they just make up a recipe and they're like, oh, I just make my own balsamic vinaigrette. I'm not that girl. I need a baseline recipe, but I would be terrified to take a recipe and experiment to go, well, let me substitute Greek yogurt, because I'm so scared that the things won't cook or bake the same way. Are you fearless that way? Or did you have to learn some really tough lessons in experimenting and making things healthier?
So I feel like it goes 50-50 both ways. There definitely are times where I make things, especially like desserts, like trying to make a healthier brownie or healthier cake is like nearly impossible. A lot of those versions wind up in the trash. but for the most part, other than desserts, you know, I look at everything just as like an experiment, and like, you know what, if it winds up that it doesn't taste good at all, it's rarely so bad that like I can't eat it. It's just more so it's like not so great that I want to share it with other people. So sometimes I make things the first time they come out great, but I guess I am kind of like fearless in that I just kind of look at it and go, all right, well, this is all right, but I could do this, this, and this and make it better and try it again until it's what I want.
Hmm. Now, my second question, based on what you just shared there, is in your personal experience, you know, you said, I didn't want to deny myself, which I love. I've certainly learned the hard way through my years of being on a fitness journey that massive deprivation will just make you obsess about food more and lead to more binge
100%.
Experiences. I'm still getting over that with granola, frankly. I'm trying to explain to my man and I'm working on it, but I can't keep granola in the house because for so many years I just, you know, conditioned my mind to believe that it was the most forbidden food on the planet. And I really still have a problem binging on it. I do. That's a separate Kelly-O show. We'll talk about that separately. But my question to you is, you said, I don't want to deny myself the foods that I love, but I'm, you know, making a healthier version of it. Would you say when you use, and I'm using air quotes over here, when you say, when you're making healthier versions, I've seen what the recipes that you put out, you're using real foods, you're using, you know, healthy fats and so on. Do you also, as a practice, just try to limit quote unquote fake foods as much as possible? Would you say that that's a tip you would pass on? And I have no idea what your answer is, but I'm just curious. Do you also think that that's a way, as a tip to people listening, like, hey, eat, you don't have to deny yourself, eat real foods and then, you know, cut down on the, whether it's something like a lean cuisine, not to bash these companies, the granola bars, the protein bars. Do you avoid fake foods like that or no?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. I mean, if you were to look in my fridge or in my pantry, you're not going to find very many packaged things. You know, I have canned goods, but it's, you know, canned like beans and canned pumpkin puree. Like, you're not going to find pre-made meals and things like that. I think that if I could offer one tip to literally anyone looking to eat better, it would be to stop eating all the packaged stuff. And I'm not talking about like, you know, eating a bag of potato chips or Fritos. I'm talking about those things that you mentioned, like a granola bar. I feel like almost like those fake healthy things, you know, the things that are kind of like greenwashed to make it seem that they're very healthy, but they're actually not. And at the end of the day, I just feel like we all need to get back to kind of like our roots and what, you know, our great grandparents ate, which was vegetables, meat, potatoes, just, you know, the kind of standard stuff, and just take a step back from all the processed stuff. And that alone will not only leave you like feeling so much better. I mean, it's almost instant when you stop eating processed crap, you feel like a new person. But if you're someone that's working towards weight loss or you know, fitness goals, you're going to perform better in the gym and you likely are going to lose weight.
Mm, so true. Did you ever see that movie Fed Up?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I have to link that up because for everybody listening, you can watch it free on Amazon Prime. And I believe you can even watch it free, like on their website. I was late to the game watching that. And I will say this, Amazon Prime has a ton of free movies along the lines of these topics. But to what Liz was just talking about, it really, frankly, got me very angry watching that because it showed a lot of folks who were in probably the obese category and they were talking about, you know, the obesity epidemic. But it's just, you know, these poor people, they were interviewing them and they were sharing how they were like, look, you know, the parents are trying to help these kids who are massively obese and can barely move. And so imagine the peer pressure we all deal with as young kids anyway. Then you add to it that you're 100 pounds overweight. You just feel so bad for these kids. And these kids are trying to run track and lose weight. And they're all saying, well, I'm dieting. And then they show what they're eating. And all of them, remember, there was a point where they all showed what they were having for breakfast. Big bowls of cereal with skim milk. And then they were taking like a granola bar, you know, and they were having that as their snack. And some of them were having even like Slim Fast stuff. And now this past week, we read that Weight Watchers is coming out with an app for kids to show them how to diet. And it's like, I think about the other thing you said, you know, the Healthify products. All these products are just adding, it's keto, you know, or it's right. Healthy, it's fiber rich, net carbs. And you're just like, come on. And so back to what Liz said, I have to concur. That yes, ultimately calories count. I'm a strong believer of that. I think we all need to remember that, but you will do so much better to just what Liz said. If it's fast food and or fake food, the more that you can cut that out and eat real food and start cooking again. And that's why Liz is on the show. Cause when I say start cooking again, a lot of people, and maybe you can speak to that, Liz, a lot of people go, I don't have time to cook. I've got a 40-hour-a-week job. I work 60 hours a week. I commute. I don't have time to cook. I don't have time to grocery shop. In fact, I'm laying it up for you. That's a great question. What do you say to people who automatically, you know, oppose the idea of cooking because they think they don't have time, they think it's going to be too expensive, and they think, I think it's less people don't cook because they think it's not going to taste good. They think that they don't have time and they don't have money. What do you say to that?
So I say that's BS. And for a couple reasons, one thing that just like aside from food, something that I always tell people when they say that is instead of saying I can't, or I'm not able to, rephrase it with I am not prioritizing. So instead of saying, oh, I can't cook healthy food, try saying I'm not prioritizing healthy food. And then it's like suddenly your brain's like, oh wait, well, I don't really want to say that out loud. So I think you have to get real with yourself and what you can or can't do. Because first of all, anyone can cook. It is not hard to do, especially with all the gadgets we have now, like Instant Pots and air fryers and all that. But the other thing that I'll say is like, it can be hard if you make it hard. So if you pick a recipe that has 30 different ingredients and takes 2 hours to make, like, yeah, that is hard and that is time consuming. But you can make something very delicious with minimal ingredients that takes minimal time, aka basically any of my recipes. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And it can be great for you. So that's something that I focus with on, you know, all of my recipes is that, are these quick to make? Yes. Do they have simple ingredients? Yes. I mean, occasionally I might have something that you might not have in your pantry, like almond flour or oat flour, but those are very accessible. I mean, you said the Amazon Prime before, you can have it to your day and your house in 24 hours with Amazon. And does this taste good? It's got to taste good. I am not eating steamed vegetables and boring chicken. Like that's not a way to live. Yeah. So I just think that that's, you know, that taking too much time is not the case. And in terms of the money thing, you know, again, sure, can you go to Whole Foods and buy organic free-range chicken that, you know, they was raised with love? Sure, and it's going to be really expensive. But can you also go to Costco and buy chicken at a quarter of the price because you're buying it in bulk? Absolutely. Can you get vegetables from Costco? Yep. If you go on my Instagram, you will see that. It's something that I've been sharing more, are my Costco hauls. It's just myself and my fiance and our family, but we spend under $500 a month on groceries. And that's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for two people for the entire month. So it is completely doable. But you just have to be mindful of where you're shopping sales, and not buying from overpriced grocery stores.
That's a good, first of all, I'm writing that down, that you spend less than $500 a month. I know that one of the things that you're really good at, and you have a lot of content on your blog, it can help a lot of people like myself, is I don't think that I or my man have really been strategic in our shopping. And as a result, I'm embarrassed to say that we throw out a lot of wasted produce. Just last week, I threw away three big blocks of cheese because they'd gotten, you know, moldy. And I hate that because, yeah, from just an ethical standpoint of all the people that are in need of food, and here I'm throwing food out because I can't get my shit together, for lack of a better way of saying it, and planning better. I want to follow more advice from people like you who have just cornered that ability to shop appropriately. I remember one of the times I saw your Instagram stories, and you were talking about, like, here's what we do when we get to the end of the month. I go in my refrigerator and I see, you know, what do we have and what can we make from that?
Yeah.
And instead of what so many people do, and this is how you waste a lot of money, is you just go and you're like, well, this is what I feel like. I don't have enough in my refrigerator. So you just go buy more. And then the stuff you have in your refrigerator rots, where you could be a lot more strategic with just a little bit of planning. I'm curious with, because you brought up a good point. I know you go to Costco. I'm getting ready to get back and get a membership at Costco. I'm so excited. but do you, when you're getting ready for the month ahead, are you one of those people? I really don't know the answer. Do you plan out all of your meals ahead in advance? You know, for those people that are just getting started, do you plan 1 week at a time? Hey, this is what I plan to make, and so this is what I'm going to buy at Costco. Do you do 2 weeks at a time? Like, how does that work for you so that you're staying within a budget, you're using the food that you buy, and you're, well, I guess, like I said, staying within your means as far as what you're spending?
Yeah, so I kind of do and I kind of don't. I don't look at, like, and plan out, on this day I'm going to make this, on this day I'm going to make that. Typically what I do is when I go to Costco, I get my staples. So I'll buy different types of protein. So like chicken, beef, turkey, pork, whatever, you know, fish. I don't personally eat fish, but if you eat fish, they have so many options there. So I'll stock up on my protein, and obviously we're not going to eat, you know, 15 pounds of meat in a week. So I freeze it and then I will defrost it from my freezer as, you know, the month goes on. Mm-hmm. So I get my protein and then I get staples like produce. And when I pick my produce, I typically have to go twice a month to get produce, just because it obviously doesn't last that long. But when I do buy produce, I try to pick things that are a little heartier. So like carrots, Brussels sprouts, I'm trying to think of what else I buy. Sometimes I'll buy green beans, but those kind of go bad quickly. I won't buy like five different types of salad. I'll just buy one thing of spinach. And then in terms of like fruit, I have, again, hardier things like apples versus the thing of raspberries, which probably is not going to last very long. They go bad Amen. Pretty quick.
There's no way to make berries not go bad. I have not found a way. I mean, every time I buy berries,
and it's so frustrating because they're not cheap. And then you wind up tossing them and they get gross.
So frustrating.
Yeah. So I get my protein, I get, you know, different types of produce, and then I'll get pantry staples like, you know, olive oil or nuts and seeds, grains, spices. You can get lots of that stuff, you know, canned items like beans, tomatoes, etc. So that's kind of how I focus my shopping trips. And obviously I don't have to buy olive oil every time I go to Costco. I mean, it lasts a long time when you get those huge containers. But then what I'll do is, you know, I'll supplement the trip to Costco with like a trip to Trader Joe's or Stop and Shop or whatever, Aldi, whatever grocery store I have near me, because there's only so much I can buy there. And sometimes I want a little bit more variety or need things in smaller quantities that I know will go bad, like berries or things like that. So every week, what I'll do is supplement with a trip to like Trader Joe's and say, okay, well, here's an example. So last week when I went to Costco, I bought carrots, I bought green beans, and I bought mushrooms. And it's a 10-pound bag of carrots. This is a lot of carrots. And it's like a 2-pound bag of green beans. I think it's 2 pounds of mushrooms. So that's like a lot of vegetables. We eat a ton of vegetables. But so earlier on Sunday, I roasted all my carrots because I knew I had to do something with them. And then, you know, on Monday morning when it was time for me to like go to the grocery store or plan for my meal, I looked at my friend and I said, oh, I have carrots. I have mushrooms. I have green beans. I can make a really good stir fry with that. So I pulled out my turkey and I made my meal. But what if you're someone that doesn't have a Costco membership or you're just like trying to reduce your food waste, something that I do every week, well, not as much anymore, but I used to do every week when I worked in a job and I didn't have, you know, a little bit more time to kind of relax and cook and whatnot, was that on Sunday night, I would make a list and I say, all right, I have those green beans, I have this and I have this, and those three things are going to go bad. And then I would just hop onto Pinterest and say like recipes with turkey and green beans.
That's so brilliant. See what I found. I remember that was the Instagram story of yours that I'm watching. Yeah, and I told Steve, I'm like, she is brilliant.
I have a Facebook Live. I'll send you the link where I explain this and like how I do meal planning. And I actually have a free meal plan organizer too that might be helpful that you can link up as well.
Yes.
But it just explains this whole process of like looking at your fridge, seeing what you have, making just like jot it down on a post-it note. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. So I'd be like, Monday, stir fry with turkey, or Tuesday, this. And then you look at it and you realize, oh, well, the only thing I really have to buy are lemons and potatoes. Yeah. And then you have a $10 grocery bill versus if you just wandered into Trader Joe's and was like, oh, well, I don't really know what I have, so I'm just going to get this, and this. And you wind up spending $50 to $100. So it's a great way to not only save a ton of money, but also just kind of be more eco-friendly and more conscious of the food that you have in your fridge.
Hey, you've reached the end of this two-part episode. This is the end of part one of the two-part episode with Liz Falcigno. Be sure you tune into part two.